First Peter, chapter 2, verses 2 through 6. Like newborn infants, long for the pure, spirited milk, so that by it may grow into salvation. If needed, you have tasted that the Lord is good. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourself be built into a spirited house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "See, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame."
This honor, then, is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe. The stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the excellence of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." This is the gospel of grace.
Thanks be to God. 20 years ago, I had the privilege of driving from Berlin to Prague along the German Autobahn. Almost to the border of the Czech Republic, I stopped off in Dresden, where I could see the Frauenkirche, or Church of Our Lady, an early 18th century Protestant Baroque masterpiece destroyed by Allied bombing in World War II, now rising high again from its rubble almost 60 years later. Somewhat miraculously, builders found the original altar intact amidst the rubble. And it stands now in the center of the nave, surrounded by 8,245 original stones incorporated from the original structure. The new church took 12 years to complete, with both new and old stones joined together in its resurrection. The old stones are worn and weathered, nearly black from decades of exposure. And at the time of the new temple's completion, Frauenkirche's administrator, Jost Hasselhorn, gave an interview in which he described the church as a profound spiritual metaphor for the city of Dresden and its people and their scars. From a theological point of view, the wounds the soul has can be healed, he said. It's possible to close the city's wounds too. Eventually, the stones will all be the same color. And year by year, the wounds can heal. The epistle we read this morning was written to a wounded people. As Christians in a Jewish community, they had almost all been exiled from their temple in Jerusalem, victims of the same tragic schism taking place between Christianity and Judaism. Then something even more tragic took place. A grave travesty fell upon the Jewish people. The Romans attacked and sacked the city of Jerusalem. The temple was burned. Those who had not fled were captured and enslaved and scattered all throughout the Roman Empire. Jews, including Jewish Christians, were exiled into the diaspora. And the trauma of their displacement weighed heavy on them. They could still all see in their own mind's eye the city burning behind them. And they each knew they would never return. It was here into this context that an early Christian picked up a pen and wrote the first epistle under the name of the Apostle Peter. It is what my friend and fellow biblical scholar Warner Bailey calls an epistle of consolation. In other words, it's a word of hope. It's a word of hope to a hopeless people and a visual and vision of a spiritual home to a physically homeless community. The stones of the foundation of their former lives had all been toppled, and their physical temple was destroyed. Now the epistle was being written and read to encourage the people to dare to dream about building a temple again. It called upon these people to build, if not a physical temple, then a spiritual one. A new spiritual temple, a new house of God, and a new community of faith in which they themselves would become the living stones for which Christ Jesus himself would become the new chief cornerstone. As the psalmist said, the stone the builders rejected would become the chief cornerstone, and the people who had been rejected would become together the living stones. On the Sunday, when this great edifice was dedicated in April 1952, Pastor H. Guy Moore preached a sermon from this very text in 1 Peter, which he titled, "These Living Stones." It was the inspiration for the title of our church's two-volume history, Living Stones, which is a double blessing, a fascinating read for those who are interested in deep dives into the records of old church meetings, and a cure for insomnia for those who are not. in the sermon, Guy Moore noted that Peter is the rock and that Christ is the living stone and that the church is the living temple. This is an amazing sanctuary and edifice. True, he was saying, but the holy house of God is not made with human hands. It is a spiritual dwelling place. And God does not live in stone and in mortar, but in the hearts and souls of human persons and faithful communities. So then, he was saying, even if the stone pillars on a place as glorious as this should fall, the spiritual pillars can still rise. And we rise together. A spiritual house founded on the living faith of the apostles and the prophets with Christ Jesus himself as the living foundation. Come to him, Peter says, to that living stone, rejected by humans but chosen and precious to God, and like living stones, be yourselves built together into a spiritual house. On that same occasion, when they dedicated the cornerstone on the northeast side of this building, they asked a man named Mr. John Thomas, chief custodian of the church for then 28 years, to place a small silver commemorative coin into the church's capsule. Most of you know that because he was black, Mr. Thomas could not be a member of this church at that time. He had to sit up in the baptistry rather than out in the pews on Sunday mornings. And for this fact, Mr. Thomas's portrait now hangs as a permanent act of repentance in our church narthex. But even so, the church in 1952 was already, in some sense, repenting and changing. For when it went to dedicate the foundation, the white press thought it significant enough to report that the old Negro porter had taken part in the dedication of the new church's cornerstone. The stone that the builders had rejected had become a part of the cornerstone. And it was the Lord's doing, and it was amazing in our eyes. Those are words from the Psalms. Psalms 118, which is a psalm about the building of the second temple in Jerusalem and how the builders used discarded stones from the first temple to serve as the foundation stone for the latter. It is, I think, an apt metaphor for our beloved Broadway. So many discarded and rejected in other places, and even here, have become now a part of the very foundation stone of this new church. Women and LGBTQIA persons and interracial families and immigrants and people who just didn't believe like everybody else in the other places, people who were kicked out and rejected by other churches, have become now here a part of the foundation stone, the living stones, with Christ Jesus himself, who was also rejected, now as the chief cornerstone of us all. So then the prophets say, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For the glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts." My prayer, beloved, is that this latter temple would indeed be greater than the former, and a place of peace, and a place of welcome, and a place of inclusion, as we heard this morning in our Becoming Broadway class, a place of safety and refuge for all people. That all would have peace, and that the black stones are as precious and as visible as the white. And the wounds suffered in the tumult and the attack and the fall and the burning and the rubble and the ruins can finally find a place to heal even in this present exile. This is Broadway Baptist Church. And these are the living stones, these fifth and sixth graders and their parents and their grandparents and you. You are the living stones, precious and beautiful and of value and good. And Christ Jesus himself, Christ Jesus himself, who knows what it means to be the discarded stone, is the new chief cornerstone for this new beloved community. It's my prayer. It's my hope. And I believe it is God's dream for this, our beloved Broadway, together. May it come to pass. I close this morning with the meaning of my sermon title, A Throwaway Stone. It comes from a poem written and shared with me some time back by Reverend Dr. Charles Kuyker, who as a prophet of God has known what it means sometimes to have to face rejection and even exile. As Steve Shoemaker said to us last week, a prophet needs a good working relationship with U-Haul. And Reverend Kiker went even one step further. He got himself a real estate license. That way he could win even if losing. Charles has been a prophet in other places, and he has received a prophet's reward. Though rejected there, he and his whole family have become a part of the very foundation stone of our own beloved Broadway. And here is this wonderful poem which he shared with me. Not much to look at, and oft left alone, has few companions, a throwaway stone. Mined from the quarry, the builders have all gone, and left there to weather this throwaway stone. But Sophia Wisdom has plans of her own. She knows what is needed, a throwaway stone. And she goes to the quarry and takes to the throne for use in God's building this throwaway stone. The king's eye was caught by this throwaway stone, once rejected by many, is now the chief cornerstone. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. It is the Lord's doing. And it is still amazing in our eyes. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, one true God, mother of us all, and together all of God's people say, Amen.